Full circle. I'm having a lot of moments like that. If anything, what the psilocybin's doing is giving me an ability to tap into more memories that maybe were a little bit calcified and locked off because I've been so wrapped up in my everyday life. Reflecting on memories, giving me so much perspective. Hopefully the perspective is not paralyzing, though, like I've talked about before, because having too much information can paralyze you. It's about managing that information so that it benefits you in the current moment you're existing in and not paralyzing you for future moments. So I don't know, but even having all that information almost feels paralyzing. Don't know. Still trying to figure it all out. Definitely going a little bit crazy over here with it, though, and I think that's it means things are good. Because if I have the time to think about all that perspective, that must mean I'm not surviving anything catastrophic at the moment. So, doing good. Sick. Solved it. So I'm not going to have a panic attack. It's going to be fine. Everything's fine, dude. Aisha, everything's fine, dude. Chill. Sick. Hash. Traditional RBR. Future RBR. We ready. Oh boy. What's up, everybody? Welcome to today's episode. Oh, is this ready? Did it buzz? I really gotta get the app for my Puffco. So that just, you know, if I'm not holding it, it tells me. Whoa. I had to buy some BHO today, some batter, because they were low on rosin at the dispo. So, man, it's really good. It just definitely hits a little different. But again, it's still super fucking good. Really get through the Puffco. Some A5 Wagyu from Green Dot, some of their batter. I smoke a lot of that A5 rosin. The batter's definitely a little bit different terpene profile. Wow. All right, on today's episode, I'm going to be ripping a couple different RBRs. I got this big old nail here because I did some adjustments on this. Because I accidentally broke the dish off this thing a year ago. And I put some new cuts in it and put a new dish on it, and now she's back in business and honestly shredding even harder than before because put some big cuts in it. We're going to talk about our few final drops of the year coming up and what the plans are for exactly what I want to make for those. So if there's something on there it sounds like you're interested in, like save those pennies and get ready for those drops. And man, this is just about my favorite time of the year. It's fall. It's so comfortable in the glass blowing studio. Just the temperature, the feel of everything, the food, the holidays, it's awesome. I'm very stoked. I know it's a crazy time right now, if you watch the news and TV and everything, but it's pretty much been a crazy time since we started this podcast in February of 2020, right before the pandy started. And it just seems like crazier and crazier every year, so we just continue to do our same thing. Enjoy smoking hash, drinking coffee, making art, and posting silly videos on the internet for people who enjoy them. But yeah, wow, that A5 Wagyu, fire. I'm going to take a dab on this double diffuser right now. Last night, I took a dab on that 2-foot nail, and I got my whole dab in one breath. Like, I would say most of my dab videos, I'm wasting some hash for sure. But in the dab videos on those really tall-ass nails, you're getting your whole dab. Because, like, I do heat the entire nail, the entire barrel, because I use, like, a glass blowing torch and go up and down it and fucking heat the whole nail. So when you're pulling on that, the turps are just pulling up the entire fucking, like, you know, barrel of this nail. And by the time they're here, they're gone. They're vaporized. Like, especially with the size dab I take. I don't take that big of a dab. But I got a couple friends coming over on Friday. We're going to load up these refurbished nails. I got the four foot one, too. I put a bigger dish on it. I cut the smaller dish off it, and I put this big-ass, like, 50-millimeter deeper dish on it. put bigger cuts in it so we can really load these up and make some silly videos. You know, the time I spend as a 34-year-old man investing energy and resources into projects like this, just trying to get a fun dab video, like, it's crazy. The crazier part is anytime I talk to someone who's not in our industry that does stuff with media or social media, they think it's crazy that I spend so much time on things that I can't monetize because the content is against community guidelines. But hey, I'm having fun, okay? I'm trying to share my fun, good times, regardless if it's kind of against the community guidelines. Hopefully everyone's of age watching me smoke weeds on the internet. Either way, the big nails are super fun. They're surprisingly smooth, and it's crazy how much, like, you truly get your whole dab. If I was going to take a dab on one nail, if I only had one dab left in my jar and I couldn't buy any more hash or I couldn't get to the dispensary, and I was like, I got to get my whole dab, I don't want to waste a bit, I'd put in one of these tall-ass nails, because literally, if you heat the whole thing, it vaporizes every bit of the oil, especially with a good pillar, because it just, like, squeegees it up the walls all the way to the top of the fucking nail. And then I did put the bigger dish on the four-footer, and I tossed the four-footer on a terp hammer this morning and took a dab on it, and holy shit. Smoking a little terp hammer with a four-foot-long nail on it, first of all, it's just goofy. It's a real shin burner. You know, people complain about nose burners when the rig's too small. When the nail's too big, it might burn your shins. It's a real shin burner. But I didn't burn my shins, fortunately. But either way, it was just, it's... Some of the absurd things I do when I post and people point it out, they're like, this guy's got too much time on his hands. I'm like, you know, I don't, but I actively do invest my time into silliness, for sure. For sure. If I was a little bit more mature and educated, I bet you I would accomplish so much. But that's not my path. My path is to have a silly good time with my glass and my hash and do that as long as humanly possible. And I wouldn't pick it or have it any other way. Realistically, if I find something cooler than drinking coffee and smoking hash, I'll let you guys know. But I haven't. My wife reactivated our World of Warcraft accounts. Pretty hyped on that. Very cool of her. Very cool. Sitting there the other night, you know, I've been eating quite a bit of mushrooms lately. And in a responsible way, but actively doing it frequently. Basically on Sundays, you know. Sundays or even like Saturday night. Once, you know, the kiddo's gone to bed and stuff. And then I'm like, I'm going to just eat maybe 2, maybe 3 grams of mushrooms and just sit. I'm going to play some World of Warcraft. And let me tell you, the other night I was sitting there with my cat. My cat's sitting next to me, dude. My cat, he's been my homie for almost 13 years. He's the boy. He was with me before I was a glassblower or anything. And I'm sitting there in this computer chair and I have this heavy deja vu because I like almost flashed back to like 2009. Sitting there with my cat, same situation. He's chilling, or maybe 2010. It was like 2009, 2010. He's old. God, he's older than I thought. Either way. Sitting there in a chair, fucking playing WoW, drinking some coffee late at night, super stoned with my cat, and just like feeling like at peace. Like, this is sick, dude. I got my buddy. I'm playing some video games. Like, I'm grateful for what I have. This is awesome. I felt that so heavily the other night and had like this deja vu memory. I'm like, and I looked at my cat Bear and I was like, dude, how are we like still here like this? Like, full circle. Like, we were doing this like 13 years ago before I was ever fucking blowing glass or anything. I was just a landscaper, like construction guy that smoked weed and like liked playing video games at night. I'm like, how do we do this, bro? Now, like, all the things that have happened in between, but we're still in the same computer chair playing the same silly video game, smoking weed. But all the shit that happened in between. It's wild. Became a glassblower, became a dad. I don't know. It was a real mushroom way to be thinking, to say the least. What I found was crazy, though, is, like, I'd look at my cat, and you know, like, when you eat, like, mild psychedelics, like, you get nice, pleasant visuals of turning and swirling movement, or maybe just wiggles or whatever. His fur was, like, kind of looked like little hurricanes all over his body. And then when my wife walked in the room to see that I was still awake, and I saw her face was doing crazy stuff. But when I would look at the computer screen, totally fine. Just the colors were more vibrant. And, like, I'm like, why is, like, this digital screen not, and like I was actively like, why I like get really close to it. I'm like, where's like the weird variance or whatever? But then I'd look at like organic real life or maybe base reality, whatever this is we're in, and like it's showing me a reaction of all this movement and stuff. I'm like, how is that happening? Like, how is the computer screen? Because like I'll even watch TV sometimes after I eat some mushrooms, and like I can't stop laughing because people's faces look so funny because of like what their faces are doing. But like that wasn't happening with WoW. But I was like, maybe it's already so cartoony and like nerdy that like it's just like this looks normal. I don't know. It was weird. Yeah, dude. I was like, yeah, mushrooms are cool, but definitely don't do them all the time. Like, eat them and actively know that, hey, I had mushrooms. If you make it like part of your, really part of your diet, and not microdosing, then reality gets a little weird because you're like, you start thinking that, like, you know, maybe you're in a matrix or something, or like it's a holographic universe. I don't even know. Either way, weed is chill. Weed is chill. Mushrooms are super sick though, like, and I would highly recommend. But honestly, like, I don't think I could enjoy them the same way when I was younger when I tried them. As an adult now, I don't get scared of a bad trip because I'm not going to eat that many. Like, I'm not going to eat so many that I'm not functioning. And also too, like, I know what I'm getting out of it. It's like, I'm not, I have nothing to be scared of. That's the thing. Maybe, you know, when you're a kid, it's just like, you're like, you hear all these stories about someone having a bad trip or your cousin's friend that ate mushrooms once and he's been in the mental hospital ever since, dude. He's not the same. Like, I don't know. Yeah, but as an adult, it's so much more enjoyable. Like, how I describe it to people, at least, like, if you're comfortable with it, like, if you take enough, it's a little bit more than microdosing, but it's like drinking, like, your body feels like you drank two or three light beers, just a little body buzz. You feel a little loopy, but still in control. And then things are extra funny. Like the first time you smoked weed, you're a little bit giggly. Things are just silly. And if you really want to look and focus on something, especially another living creature, there is layers and movement happening on the surface of them that you're like, that's crazy looking. And I like it. I don't know, it's just, it's pleasant, but it's one of those things that if you overdo it, it probably could be pretty terrifying. I like those mild, very mild psychedelics, like where if your wife was like, hey, go feed the dogs and wash the dishes, like that's not a problem. Like you can totally just go handle that right now. But if you sit down and like meditate, take a deep breath and like focus on a specific object, you can enjoy some movement that you can't really understand. It's kind of fun. I don't know, it's those little simple things, right? That are for me, that's... The complex stuff's cool too, but the simple stuff in life, sometimes it seems to be the best. I don't know. All right, let's take a real dab. At work, I'm mostly slamming, you know, dabs on a quartz now. At night, playing video games with the wife and stuff, the Puffco has been a real nice addition to the formula we have for how we like to consume cannabis. It's just so much quieter and stuff, like lighting a torch up like this. If you have like people sleeping in your home, especially like you don't want the kids to wake up and stuff, I can understand. And again, some people like rent apartments or have HOAs where they're like really not supposed to have a torch like this on the property. But when have cannabis smokers ever been rule followers? You know what I'm saying? So I say do what you want to do and, ask for forgiveness later, as long as it's, yeah, obviously within moderation. Don't get too crazy. But if you're trying to fucking get a blazer and take some dabs against HOA's permission, then live life. Do it. Yeah, this Evan Shore nail right here is essentially the same as this tall nail, just like regular size, but the thickness on it and everything and the dish. Because I welded an Evan Shore dish to the bottom of a black market nail. It's a forced collab. It's a forced collab. What can you do? That's one thing, like, in the video I posted of these nails, people were like, damn, those welds are so strong. And I'm like, dude, like, the first dish popped off. Like, this is a forced collab. The second dish might pop off, too. Like, because no quartz weld like that should be being beat on. These are nails that the 12-inch ones are fine. I don't think there's really enough velocity there to really break the dish off. But once the pillar's falling, like, higher than 12 inches, then it's kind of like, there's a chance with enough force you can pop something off. I welded the fuck out of this thing, though. I got it so fucking hot. Hot in a way where it, like, definitely distorted, like, the cuts right at the bottom just a little bit. But it looks really clean still. And the turbine on it and shred is... I'll take a dab on that later in the episode. But it's premium. Does the trick. I lost my favorite carb cap the other day. I do this shit all the time. I'm so clumsy here at work that it just gets, like, dropped into the pile of glass in my bench and then just disappears. Lost. It's like dropping a cup of water into the ocean. Like, you can't find your original cup of water. You're like, where'd it go? Like, that's essentially what happens when I drop a clear carb cap into a scrap pile on my bench. I'm like, oh gosh, it's gone. It was quartz too. It was a gift from Joel Halen. I didn't even make it. Dang it. Maybe I'll find it when I clean my bench. Inevitably. That does have to happen. Yeah, it's glass blowers. I keep my shit pretty clean, but... Oh, for real? No temp reader? I definitely fucked up. Doesn't matter. That's actually exciting. Let's live life how they used to live in the old pioneer days. The time before temp techs and dab rights. A time when your one educated friend had a heat gun from Home Depot and you're like, what? A different time. A simpler time. Where if it don't shatter... It don't matter. And if it ain't red, it ain't ready. Yep. Yep. Everyone almost died back then. Too many hot, big, fucking purged dabs. Painful time for people's lungs, but we made it. We made it, y'all. This is going to be a hair warm, I think, but that's all right. What did I talk about? It's perfect. Professional. It's like I've done it before. I'd make it without a temp reader. Actually, you know what? Next vacation, might not even bring one with me. Might not even bring a temp reader. Might live like a real, you know, whatever, person who doesn't temp their dabs, whatever that is. God, I feel like dabbing is legitimately, not gonna lie, at least in the way I do it, I feel like the way I dab has become less, I wouldn't say popular, but I would say people are less aware of it than they were fucking 4 or 5 years ago. Like, normal people 4 or 5 years ago knew about, like, dabs and nails. Like, they know about, that nowadays they know about vape pens, like little dab pens, they know about, like, Puffcos, all this. Doesn't seem as commonly known anymore. It was kind of like a thing that was slowly busting into mainstream society with, like, Action Bronson and people like that posting using quartz. And, you know, every town has that one dude or lady that knows about the cool things and has the cool nails and shit. It just seems like that culture is less noticed, which maybe what needs to happen so it can go back to being a heavy, like, black market counterculture. But, you know, at the same time, it was pretty cool when normal people knew, like, because it's cool to be, like, part of something that's really, you know, niche and unique, but it's also cool when normal people can respect it even if they're not part of it, and if they don't know about it, they can't really respect it. Not saying people respect someone who's smoking weed, but even people who didn't smoke weed that were, like, cool with it, like, thought it was, they would be aware of it, and all they would say is, oh, I heard that shit's way too strong. That shit's crazy. That shit's way too strong, I've heard. Yeah, my cousin, he did dab once, has been right since, you know, that's like what they say, man. Hash, I wonder if I smoke a lot of hash, you know, like, I wonder, because back in the day, like, I was watching people do absurd stuff, and I have friends that smoke crazy amounts of hash that, like, I was always saw myself as, like, I'm a very, like, novice dabber, but as now I see less people doing it, and a lot of people smoke Puffcos now and stuff, I'm like, oh shit, am I, like, now, like I smoke a lot of hash just because the tides have turned a little bit? Or am I just less aware of the people who are smoking a lot of hash? Could be the side effects of growing up and being, like, you know, a parent and being, have all these other responsibilities. You can't keep up with who's cool. One thing about me, a couple things. Never been drunk in a bar. Couldn't name one Taylor Swift song. Sure, she's talented and fucking rules. But unfortunately, I just don't know any of her music. Those two things have been more shocking to like people lately when they've heard it from me than anything. I don't understand why. Which I understand it'd be like probably someone back in like the 60s being like, I couldn't name one Beatles song or whatever. You know what I mean? Or back in the 50s being like, I couldn't name one Elvis song. But I think that sometimes you get moments in your life where it's hard for you to even know it's relevant because you're just so focused on your real life right in front of you. You know what I mean? But wow. I just took a dab of some black maple from Green Dot. And the terp on that is pretty wild. I got really like fruity, lemon, creamy kind of flavor. But it says gassy grape gelato. You can see that. Wow. That's like such a unique flavor. Black maple is an interesting name for it, too. It's very, like, I get almost, like, reminds me a little bit of their lemon butter rum, a little bit. Not as heavy on the lemon, but something in that same family with that, like, creamy, kind of rich, full background flavor with a little bit of fruits on top of it. But I would say on the citrus sweet on that sort of fruit end. Yeah, I'm stoked that companies like Green Dot are still around doing it. And trying to push like good hash and make stuff consistently, because that used to be so much more common here in Colorado, and now I feel like it's few and far between to find like really good hash or flower. And I'm sure it's just like a changing of the guard right now, like I've talked about in like probably little bits over the past six or so episodes, like even in the glass industry, like a changing of the guard or a crossroad or a turning point, like, you know, there's always change that happens. But I feel like it's industry-wide. And it's just, it's interesting to be, like, in it while the change is happening. I remember a time when people could just grow weed in their house and bring it to the local dispensary and sell it. And you could just, like, grow weed and sell it to dispensaries or sell it to your friends and just snowboard and live in Colorado. I didn't get to live that lifestyle. I know people that did. I've heard the stories. Like, I remember a time when that was right at the tail end of it. I moved here when that was happening. But now it's, like, there's so much regulation and shit's so different. I'm hoping that things go much more in the direction of what they do with farmers markets where, you know, grandma and grandpa are allowed to grow some tomatoes in their garden and bring it to the farmers market. They don't have to go through some, like, you know, regulation where everything's checked, but there has to be, like, a stamp on it that says, like, homemade or homegrown or whatever so that people buying it know that, hey, this is not, like, a regulated product through the FDA or whatever. It's not been sold through a store or whatever. I'm hoping that's the direction the weed industry grows, where they just let everything just be opened up like that. They're like, yep, there'll be big corporate weed, but also if mom and pop want to have a farmer's market and grow their own local product and sell it, they can do that. They just have to have a sticker on it stating that this is not a federally regulated product or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I hope that's the direction it goes in, because then it'll be way more fun, because then the people who are about convenience and just want to, like, grab some weed at the gas station real quick and just load up their dab pen or their Puffco, sick. But if there's the people that, like, want to, like, spend the money on the quartz and the Temptex and the nice glass and, like, go to a farmer's market and look and seek out, like, new growers and new people that are doing different stuff and enjoy all their different flowers and hashes and all this stuff, or, like, food and all the things they're doing around cannabis, then there's going to be a space for them too, which I think is very feasible. There's space for both the people who enjoy those aspects of it, and then the people who are just a weekend smoker that just, hey, I smoke weed on Fridays, I don't need all these things, or I don't need to go to some crazy market. Like, I can just stop at this local spot, buy the, you know, the commercial weed and be good. And then there's the people like me that, well, I'll smoke the commercial weed, but I'll also, like, I want to go try all the different growers and different genetics, and, like, I want to walk around and smell and look at things and enjoy the whole, you know, everything around it. If you grew up going to farmers markets like I did, farmers markets fucking rule. Like, it's fun looking at all the different vegetables and flowers and people, like, vendors, like people, like, cooking food and stuff. I used to get the best spring rolls at a farmers market. You would never think, like, Thai food at a farmers market, but they crushed it. These people had their little setup there. But that's my point. I'm hoping that's the direction it goes in. And then we can have people inspired again. Because when it's all regulated and corporate shit, that works for some, but not for everyone. That makes some people less inspired, which lowers the quality of what we create. And it limits the amount of input from other people, which limits the amount of progression we can make in strain development and hash. I mean, technology, just like with cannabis, like, it all advances quicker with healthy competitiveness from all different people, not just one small group. And I think once you lose a little bit of that because of regulation and things being run through more of a corporate sense, you lose the ability for like us to enjoy the best hash. I'm just trying to smoke the best hash. I don't want that to get fucked up. I really want the best hash. And if that gets fucked up and I have to do this shit again, if I have to start growing again and extracting, I'm going to be irritated. I love it, but I don't have time. But if I have to start doing that again to make sure I have good hash, I will. Don't make me, though. I don't want to right now. Maybe when I'm older, when my daughter's fully grown and out in the world as an adult, I'll start fucking making hash again and growing. I've already told my wife that that's the deal. I got the seeds already set aside. We're going to preserve them till then. And we're going to be at the farmer's market as old people just selling the most fire hash. I'll have my glass there too. People be like, oh, you were the Bear Mountain. I think I heard of that once. And I'm like, yeah, now I grow weed. Now I'm this weird old guy that grows weed all day. But hey, that's full circle. That's probably where we'll end up. But yeah, right now I'm focused on growing a person and making sure that she is helpful to our planet and not more detrimental to it like most of these people. It's crazy. But if I don't fail there, then I'll have plenty of time to grow weed when I'm older. So I'm gonna work on that first. It's literally why I stopped growing weed, because I was like, I can't grow a weed well and a person well. I'm not capable. There's people out there that can. Absolutely, there's people that can do 10 jobs at once and be the best parent ever. Me, I'm not that skilled. So I needed to cut myself off from some of my activities so that I could be better at like a couple of things instead of like a bunch of things. So I was like, I'll be a glassblower and a dad. That sounds pretty fucking sick. Wow. That was a lot, though. That was like pretty professional, that dab of Black Maple. I'm pretty proud of myself. I feel totally comfortable not even temping the fucking 24-inch now. This is an expensive piece of quartz. The 4-footer, too. The 4-footer is just absurd. I was like, there's no point in bringing that in the pod because there's like no way we're going to be able to like get the whole thing on camera because it's so big. In the 4-footer, though, I made a glass spring this morning and put it inside of it so that when the pillar falls, it hits a glass spring so that you know, basically, hopefully, in theory, absorbs most of the impact energy of the pillar falling to the base. Because, like I said, I don't care who you are, you can pop a dish off. Some of them are welded better than others, but these products that all these quartz companies make, I don't care what quartz company it is, they're still, like, very much so a handmade product. Some of the seals may be done on a lathe, but, like, this is a wild product to sell to someone. Like, quartz nails essentially are, like, the tires of the glassblowing industry. They're, like, the thing that you constantly change out on your car. It's, like, this is the thing you change out in your rig if the rig was a car. That's the thing that's seeing the wear and tear, you know? That's the thing that's touching the road and getting beat up and dirty while the car can be maintained and stay clean. And to make a product like this with that type of weld on it that's going to be beaten on, dunked in ISO while it's hot, or accidentally knocked, or, you know, this or that, or a cap falls off and hits the dish and chips it or pops it off. Like, it's definitely it's a wild product to take on. I wish there was a way to, I think there probably is, it's just a cost thing at the end of the day. There's probably a way to, like, make these nails without any, like, seals, except for maybe just the neck. But the buckets themselves, there might be a way to manufacture that without, like, so it's like one solid piece without any seals or welds. But I think the end cost of it would be much more than a customer would be willing to pay, unfortunately. That's where a lot of this stuff lies at the end of it, because as much as something's art, these are something that requires tools and infrastructure to manufacture this art. So there is a cost to it, which makes it a little different than maybe other forms of art. Not saying canvases and paint don't cost thousands of dollars, because they absolutely do. But There's just something so mechanical about glass that is different than someone that's drawing or painting, in my opinion. Like, when I think of an artist, I think of someone who's an illustrator or a painter. That's, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, artist. But, of course, like, someone who builds beautiful decks or just beautiful tile work is an artist, too. All art in its own way. But me, traditionally, as, like, a big dummy, I'm like, oh, artists, were they, like, paint or draw or something? Like, you know what I mean? So, like, when I think of glass, it is an art form, but it's also, like, a form of industry and manufacturing that's, like, so niche and takes such a special form of skills and equipment. It's something that's been around for 5,000 years at least, but in so many different, like, ways. Like, not the way we do it, the flame working with the benches, that's fairly new, last 100 years. But glass, the melting of glass and manufacturing glass has been around for thousands of years. And just the part of the piece I'm working in right now, the part of history of glass I'm in right now, is such a small part of it. And I wonder how long it will last. You know, I wonder if we'll be this 30 or 40 year period of, like, pipe makers that was, like, something that's just talked about in history someday, is like a cultural or social phenomenon that happened where people were obsessed with functional glass art, or if it will be something that develops into something even bigger in the future. I don't know. I don't know. Either way, I hope I'm part of it. Hope I can get invited to the party and do all the things with everybody. That'd be sick, dude. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I think most of us that work hard and try to run an honest business or raise a good family, or just, we just want to be included. I think that's at the end of all of it. We just want to make sure we're at least picked for the dodgeball game. Like, I don't want to see people being like, fuck, we got that guy. Like, I want people to be like, all right, come on, dude, let's go. Like, you know, be included, whatever, at whatever level you can be. It's fucking tough. Being an adult, it's so weird socially, like, trying to, like, talk to other parents and stuff and do things. Like, yeah. And we all just want to be included as parents, too, and, like, not feel weird or whatever. But, man, it's fucking hard to be social with people. Tell you what, lately, there's been a handful of people that I had opportunities to be social with over the years that I never ended up being able to, like, hang out with because busy or whatever. And now I've just been seeing crazy shit on Instagram, people getting outed for being real creeps and stuff. And I'm like, oh, wow, I've dodged that bullet. I'm glad that person never was around me. Dude, like, I don't know if anyone saw all the crazy shit happening with, like, I think it was a shop up in Denver, but, like, the shop owner or whatever, or then maybe the new shop owner, got outed for being, like, a little creepy, doing, like, creepy stuff to, like, people who, like, minors. Like, I don't even, like, want to, like, say the words because it's, like, so gross, you know what I mean? But it's nuts that people like that have just been operating in our industry for so long. And I'm like, this is another thing that makes me feel really funny about just, like, inviting anyone over or working with anyone. Like, yeah, I'll work with anyone. Like, being like that, I'm like, dude, I fucking collabed with this one dude years ago, Goliath. And when I hung out with this guy, David, super nice. Like, it was chill. He was a fun guy. And then fun guy did some crazy shit. And I don't know exactly what happened, but I know, like, he lit someone's apartment on fire, and other folks' apartments also burned down in the process. So people lost their homes. People were hurt. I think animals were possibly killed. Thank God. I don't think anyone else, like, I don't know. It's just bad. You don't know who anyone is my point. And it seems like a lot of the people I've, like, in this industry, there's a lot of weirdos. I don't know, dude. Like, it's probably any industry, but I feel like it's a little bit higher level in this one or something. Like, there's a little bit extra in here. Just because inherently people who are around cannabis culture, like, may have other sketchy things they do, or they just, maybe it just draws in more of those people that are, like, a little bit sketchier or something. I don't know, dude. I don't know. Maybe just the access to technology information now, we're having an easier time outing people. Maybe there's fucking creeps everywhere, bro. Like, honestly, after all this information came out about the shop owner and shit, like, I looked at my wife and I was like, is there any way I don't want to be a weird parent, but I feel like I have to background check any parent that might be around our daughter if, like, they're going to a friend's house or something. Because, like, I don't know, dude. Fucking, it's a scary world out there. I try not to overthink it. like try to be like a parent in the 90s and 80s and just be like, push the kids outside and lock the door and be like, don't come home till 5. And be like, okay, so we could die. That doesn't matter though. The only thing that matters is if we don't die, don't come home till 5. My parents weren't really like that. They would encourage me to be outside and doing things though, for sure. They would encourage me to like, go do something. Don't just sit inside. But like, I know I have friends that their parents would legitimately lock the door and be like, go outside. Like my wife's parent, grandparents or whatever. When you grow up on a farm, it's a different story though. You know, push the kids outside. They go play with the cows and the fucking chickens and shit all day and catch frogs in the pond. You know, the good life. It's crazy how special that stuff is now. I grew up doing all that kind of stuff, like around farms and like playing in ponds and just whatever. And like, it was so like mids when I was growing up and just like, fuck this, dude. Like, sweet, another day catching water snakes and frogs and putting them in a fish tank and then just looking at them and then releasing them all again. And we'll build a tree for it. But now as an adult, I'm like, oh, that's so special that I got to do that. Cause like, I'm in a place where it's very urban, like there's like, we're in suburbia and like there's cities and stuff. And like, my daughter doesn't like play in the woods or build forts. Like, we try to take her hiking at least once every weekend so she can get out in the woods. But like, it's different. Like I grew up like in it, and like, I'm just grateful my parents set up that situation, because growing up in that and then going to live in cities and live in more populated areas, it gives you a perspective that's, I think, really, you can appreciate things and, you know, enjoy things more, but be like, damn, it's sick I got to grow up like that. Building forts and just four-wheeling and snowmobiling, and I didn't have any of those, but my friends had them. Fucking snowmobiling was so fun. Someday, that's one of my goals. Someday I want to get a couple snowmobiles and a trailer, and then be able to like go out on weekends in the winter time and just like do trails with the family. It sounds so fun. Do some shit like that. Yeah. Goals. Gotta have goals. Most of my primary goals though are Fairmont Studios and Glass. So unfortunately, like, there's been a couple chances where I probably could have got a snowmobile or something, but I'm like, nah, we should probably buy another lathe, or we should probably buy this tool we really need, even though we're not doing this project yet, but someday we're going to do this project, so should we get this tool? I have a hard time spending the money on toys. I always want to put it back into, like, the glass stuff, because I feel like if I don't, like, I won't keep, like, learning. I don't know. I feel like weird. Like, I feel like I'm, like, not holding up my end of the bargain with whatever demon I signed my soul to be able to do this. Like if I don't invest everything into it. Either way, that's the plan. Just keep making more art and pursuing ideas. And then if people want to support it and we get paid for some art, then we're like, let's put it back into the shop. Let's put it into the team. Let's all do fucking good. Man, easier said than done, but very, very fun project. I'll tell you what, for the last 11 years, this has been a fun fucking project. I can say that now, sitting back and looking at it, but during it, it was brutal. It was like, just very intense. But you know, I think anything that you can be really proud of is normally probably pretty difficult, where you're like, fuck, dude, that's crazy. It's crazy we've gotten to this point. I've been really, like, I've talked about it maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago, but lately trying to really recognize where I'm at with things and appreciate it, because sometimes I get so caught up in work, it's hard, and I forget that, like, hey, like, things aren't as bad as you think. Things are actually pretty fucking sick. Like, again, being a parent and having a small business, and then you watch the news, then you go crazy, and you're like, how do I navigate things? And then you add a hash to it and you're self-sabotaging at that point. But if you can solve it through all that and then you get to this point and you're like, whoa, dude, that's now it's awesome. Everything's awesome. And that's today. Tomorrow I'll be freaking out. Yesterday I was freaking out. I had a severe panic attack yesterday. It was crazy. I literally had such a bad panic attack. I had to go to my daughter's aerial class and watch her do her class so I could see her enjoying herself and smiling to calm down, which I'm like, how lucky am I that I get to go do this? Like, some people only have drugs. Like I had the option to be like, I could drink some water and eat a small snack and then go watch my daughter work on something she really enjoys. Okay, cool. Or drugs. And so I chose the other. But to calm down, and then because it was it was one of those days where it's like it was too much negative things coming from too many different angles. I was having a difficult time processing. And I was like, whoa, I feel like I'm having a panic attack, I think, dude. I'm freaking out. But I will say the panic attack directly followed after a dab on the snail. So, tests will be going down today. Will another panic attack be induced by said now? We will find out. I don't know. I like to know. It's just like, I wouldn't do this with food poisoning. Like, say I ate food at a Chinese restaurant and got sick, or, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of restaurant, but the ones that have gotten me the most have been like when I'm traveling and I hit a Chinese spot that I'm not used to, that sometimes I'll get rocked. So that's just, you know, personal experience there. I won't test the place again to see if I get food poisoning. I'm like done. I'm like, I don't need to know. There's so many places to eat. But with a nail, if I get severe panic attack and anxiety, I need to know if it was the nail or if it's something else I got to work on. You know what I mean? If I get a second panic attack, I go, okay, well, now we know. 550 on that nail is no good, but I bet 480 won't give me a panic attack. That's how you solve that. Change your temp. It was probably too hot. Or just don't smoke hash like that. Either way, whatever you want to do. You know, there's a lot of options. That's the beautiful thing about where we're at, though, nowadays, is we have some options. And I got some on the table here. So I'm going to get this nail set, I think. That way I have a moment after to just remember that everything's fine. And really, I just want to show you guys how good the function is on this nail that I made a couple adjustments on. And it makes me want to fuck around with quartz so bad, because quartz seems so fun. Not make the same nails as other people, of course. I want to play around with quartz and make some stuff that's just like fun for me to smoke and make videos. I post lots of dab videos on the internet. Oftentimes I'll have an idea. I'm like, oh, I wish the nail was like this. It's very similar to my early years of glass blowing when I was buying rigs and going, damn, I wish the pipe was like this though. So I'd buy three different pieces that had components that I liked and I'd be like, well, I wish all three of these pieces could be in one. It's kind of what I want to do with nails, but just for personal, you know, and then maybe I can make little bits of them if people are into them or if they're good. Help me do it. I've been, you know me. In here early as hell, up late, fucking doing quests with my wife, being a good husband. You know, that shit's crazy. My wife activated her wild accounts. That shit is wild. Like, I never would have thought. 17, 16 year old Evan. I was with Cassie then too. Been with her my whole life, basically. But back then, she wasn't into WoW. And then, like, now, like, seeing it, like, she's the one activating the WoW accounts. Like, she's the one putting together a little charcuterie board. I'm like, whoa, we got cheeses? What is this? This is fancy. Like, whoa. Oh, it's almost bringing a tear to my eye. Because I'm like, dude, shit used to be so bad. Like, and it's not perfect now. But even if things are bad, I'm sure they've been worse before, right? You got to have a reference point. Man, pretty sick. Pretty sick. You ever get anxiety, though? Because when things are good, then you're like, but that means things are going to go bad soon. Because if things are good, that means that things are going to be bad, because I need a reference point to what good is. And I'll remember what good is, because that bad thing will happen. And be like, fuck, I wish it was like it was. Fuck. Oh, my God. Ugh. That's the weed, though. Definitely. Because the funny thing is, I found out recently, or at least came to the conclusion, which I'm sure most people who are educated already have, but if you read enough history and smoke weed, and that you don't have to read it, just read history, listen to documentaries, podcasts, whatever. If you're just fascinated by history of any kind, you will inherently, and this is only probably if you smoke weed, you will inherently have a conspiratorial mind towards things. Because you'll see pattern recognition. You'll be like, whoa, is this what's happening right now? This has happened before this happened. So my point is, if weed's involved, I think it gives you perspective, and sometimes perspective's not always helpful. Sometimes it is. Perspective can be absolutely crucial. But then there's other times it just muddies things up. And I think for me, you know, I think I like that. I like to be in the mud. I like to keep it messy. But either way, history, I'm not making sense right now because I'm looking at this now and getting intimidated. I'm just thinking about what happened yesterday and my panic attack. And I'm going to do it, though. I want to conquer this. It's like, you know, when you go to the skate park and you get hurt on that one obstacle or rail, and then you're like, you're nervous to go hit it again, but you're going to fucking try, okay? I'm going to try it, and I'm going to fucking try to land it. I got this. I'm not scared. But either way, if you listen to enough history, if you smoke weed, you're probably going to go conspiratorial. If you smoke weed and do any activities, you're probably going to, you know, have a perspective that could make you lean in a direction where, you know, conspiracy-minded. And I like that. It's fun, but it must be controlled because it can put you in situations where you overthink, overanalyze, and basically paralyze yourself. That is not fun, which is a panic attack. Yes, there we go. We got there. It took a minute. I had to remember what my point was. And don't even know if that was it, but it made sense to me right then, and that's enough for me to move on. Yeah. Mm. It ain't easy, you know, smoking all this weed. I know it may look like all fun and games over here, okay? But it ain't easy. Whoa, that's a slippery joint right there. Did I put some soap in there or something? What's going on? I'm very nervous. All right, so heating up the snail, typically. I'm going to stand up, obviously, to hit it. I should probably stand up to warm it up. But typically, I heat this up with a glass-blowing torch. We can do it with a blazer. But it will take me a second. So I'm going to do it over here off the table. And that way, hopefully, and I'll talk, so hopefully it's not too loud. Because it will take me a second to heat this absurd giant nail up. What's the point? Why do it? Because it's fun. It's just fun. That's it. That's all I got. Stories for when I'm an old man. Gather around, kids. Let me tell you about the time I smoked this 24-inch drug nail. It'll be really cool. No, but seriously. I don't know what my plan is, but I'm having fun. And that's as much analyzing as I'm willing to do about it. Anytime I overanalyze stuff, I just start freaking out. So I'll just go, hey, did I have fun today? Did I get my work done? Is my family stoked? Yes, we did it. Good enough. I don't heat the dish a ton on these because majority of the terps are going to pull up this big straw of a nail. So really where you want the heat is on the barrel on this. I know that's traditionally for all the Slurpee nails, but with my regular size Slurpees, I get the dish pretty hot because I like that initial melt to really just like kind of like cover that dish and melt all the way around it. But with these ones, you really, really just want to heat the sides. I'm just getting her all warmed up. I didn't perfectly clean it after my last stab, so there might be a little bit of a reclaim or old oil on that from yesterday's experiments. Can't wait to see one of my skilled friends hit this. So dude, like, I want to see him load it up. I want to see it like overflow. I want to see the patterns that the hash makes as it climbs the nail. What I do, I might as well not even be taking a dab, even though I'm taking definitely like a 0.2 on these bigger ones at least. But it might as well not even be a dab, even though I blow out, I think, a pretty good amount of smoke. It doesn't look like anything on a giant nail. Because the nail is so fucking big. Dude, my neighbor the other day, the one that called code enforcement and this whole thing started, we were in my front yard, me and my wife, just cleaning up the front yard, getting ready to try and just clean it up because it's a mess. And came over and apologized to us. It's pretty wild. And he said sorry, and he feels like felt bad that our relationship got affected, and just he's sorry for his part in the whole thing, and we like shook on it and we were good, and I was like, that was sick. That was very sick. And then it just reassured me again, though, because, like, this is why I never reacted and was shitty to them. That's why I never fucking did anything shitty back in retaliation, because I was like, time heals all wounds. It was like, if good people are fighting, eventually they come to terms with things and can apologize to each other and move on and live their lives, you know? And it was really nice. And then I realized the whole time what I was most upset about is that my neighbors and I were in a weird spot, like someone didn't like me, you know? As weird as that sounds. People say, don't give a fuck what people think, but it's really hard to not care what people think, you know? And especially if it's people in your community. So it made me sad that, like, my neighbors weren't stoked on me. So much in a way where it caused us to move our business, but all for the better, right? Yep, Bear Mountain's a lot more work now and a lot more expensive to run and do, but at the same time, like, it's pushing me to a level that I never knew if I was, like, brave enough to go for. Kind of forced me into it. And to have it come full circle and my neighbors say sorry and us be on good terms, and I can wave to them again when they drive by and stuff like that. Like, that sounds like, who cares about that? But I like feeling comfortable in my own front yard and being, like, wave to my neighbor. You know what I mean? I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be weird for them either. But yeah. My neighbor, oh my God, he's revving his car over there. He just got a Hellcat. I'm so stoked for him. He is exactly who should be driving a Hellcat. He's a welder. He's a badass. Yeah, I admire him. It's awesome. I'm stoked for him. It's loud. You probably won't hear it, but I heard it. But yeah. Yeah, it's crazy having my neighbors just come through and do that. Yeah, and it made me want to just, like, I don't have, like, there's, like, no one, like, I can think of, but there's people that, like, I'm, like, mildly, I think, beefing with, but, like, I don't talk to them, or, like, I don't cause any drama for me or them. But there's definitely people in this industry I wish I could just be like, dude, can we just, like, stop? Whatever weirdness is happening, let's just cut it out. Let's just knock it off. For both our sakes, let's just have fun, because this is so temporary. It's all so temporary. Yeah, I don't know. It's very easy to say that in the moment when you have a full belly, you have a coffee, and you're smoking hash in an air-conditioned room. These factors make these perspectives so much more obtainable. However, in real life, when it's hot, it's sweat, and the sweat's going in your eye, even though you're killing yourself that day still won't cover the bills you're behind on. Then you're like, fuck those motherfuckers, dude. I'm gonna beat the shit out of someone. Then you're a crazy person. Really, it's crazy how perspective is, like, only available sometimes when, you know, your body's comfortable enough. But if, like, you're in fight or flight or survival mode, like, perspective is so much more narrow. All right. Get into this N2O diesel. It should be ready to go. Yeah. But yeah, things are good. Stoked that things are getting better. Yeah, it feels right. I'm gonna turn around. So it's still kind of in the middle. I'll move that coffee. Feels good. Feels right. Might even be a little low. No, we're good. Hold out today, huh? Oh, it's because it's not hot enough at the top. But there's video evidence on my Instagram of me getting this thing to the top. I could do it. You know what? I got nothing to prove. That was a really tasty dab. I'll tell you what, that tasted good. That's all that matters to me. You know, fine. It didn't get to the top on the podcast. So what? I only got 30% of the way. That doesn't matter. I had fun. Okay, that's something I'm trying to teach my daughter. Hey, you don't have to win. You just gotta try your hardest. All right. You know, I don't want to give out participation awards. You know what I mean? But at the same time, celebrate having a good time. man, that was tasty. I didn't, and you know, hey, maybe some hash was wasted, but it didn't go down the neck. I could totally reheat that and finish that dab when I'm good and ready, but I'm not ready right now. There was a little fear in me. I will be honest, because of yesterday's incident, but that was enough of a test for me to go, I'm going to have a great day today. I have no anxiety at all until I open my phone. So I will avoid it. If you ever avoided your phone like the plague, you'll actually put it face down, put it on vibrate, and just hope you don't hear anyone's trying to get a hold of you. And like, I just hope the world will be just okay for a bit while you disassociate and disconnect. I have those days. I have those days with Instagram. There's days I don't want to post or even look at it. And it's not because like anyone's mad or anything. It's just because I'm just so like overstimulated by the fucking internet. As I sit here and make a podcast for the internet. But yeah, but it's like my life, I guess. It's crazy, dude. Even before Instagram and glassblowing, I was fucking on the internet sitting in Ventrilo or Vent and just talking to people from around the world, running raids and defeating bosses in World of Warcraft. Like, I've been on the internet. Like, I was one of the like first generations, I feel like, to really be heavily on the internet. Like, I met my wife on MySpace, and we talked on AIM for fucking 5 hours a day. That was an internet relationship. I met her on MySpace and said, meet me at the mall. Now that we've talked for 15 hours on AIM, let's meet at the mall. Everything substantial that's happened to me has happened on the internet. And it started when I was like, literally before my wife, between the websites we were founding in 2001 and 2002, horrific, crazy, wow, the internet. And here we are still on the internet. I am, at least. Not everyone. Full circle. I'm having a lot of moments like that. If anything, what the psilocybin's doing is giving me an ability to tap into more memories that maybe were a little bit calcified and locked off because I've been so wrapped up in my everyday life. Reflecting on memories, giving me so much perspective. Hopefully the perspective is not paralyzing, though, like I've talked about before, because having too much information can paralyze you. It's about managing that information so that it benefits you in the current moment you're existing in and not paralyzing you for future moments. So I don't know, but even having all that information almost feels paralyzing. Don't know. Still trying to figure it all out. Definitely going a little bit crazy over here with it, though, and I think that means things are good. Because if I have the time to think about all that perspective, that must mean I'm not surviving anything catastrophic at the moment. So, doing good. Sick. Solved it. So I'm not going to have a panic attack. It's going to be fine. Everything's fine, dude. Aisha, everything's fine, dude. Chill. Sick. But yeah, me and the guys have been fucking crushing. We have some big drops we've been doing at stores. I'm very excited to like share some of the new stuff, like the new flower tubes that I'm working on. I'm going to bring back the recycling tube from last year and the double diffuse tube, but there's going to be another new one on there, a new type of recycling flower tube. I'm going to release them in November with the big clear pre-sale. This year's clear pre-sale we're going to do in November, so we have time to get the glass to everyone before the holidays. Last year we did it in December and we got most of it out, but there was at least like one or two groups that didn't go out until after Christmas. So this year we want to do a little different. So we're going to do a drop, mid-November for that big clear pre-sale, which is the pre-sale where we open up our entire catalog, like things that you would never see in clear. Not usually, that's the one time you do. So it gives like a really wide variety of super limited pieces that like some designs that you've only really seen ever in collabs, nothing like, so everything's super limited and very collectible, but affordable in a way where like you basically get two pieces for one, because clear glass is a lot more affordable than the full color stuff. The full color stuff, you're paying for so much time and man hours prepping a material on that color. It's nuts what it does to the price. But the clear stuff, you see all that function and get some really unique designs that you don't typically see. And then we're going to do that in November this year. And then for Black Friday this year, if I have any full color stuff from the previous Sunday sale, I will do a website Black Friday thing where I open up to like some pieces. So I'll probably try to time it in a way where we do the Sunday sale the Sunday before Black Friday, And then if there's anything left available from that, we'll do. And then we'll also put some special stuff on the website just for Black Friday as well. The following Friday for, you know, Black Friday. So after that Sunday. So yeah, not trying to be confusing. Just trying to give you kind of like, if you were looking getting a piece this year from me, this is what we're looking at. November, you'll have access to anything I've ever made and some of the new stuff. There will be at least 3 more Sunday sales this year with access to full color pieces. I have at least 3 or 4 more drops in stores this year for sure that I'm going to do, maybe more, but probably that I'm probably going to keep it because I want to take December a little slower this year and do more stuff with the kiddo. So I'm trying not to overbook myself. But still, like, we're nearing like the end of the year, but still have like a really, really killer variety of stuff coming up. And the flower tubes, I've been having a lot of people reach out about them. For some reason, these older flower tube videos have been blowing up on different platforms. People have been posting them, and like a lot of the flower smokers have been interested in trying or having one in the collection. So I told them I do once a year. I released the flower tubes last year. I did the same thing. And that's the way I can think, keep them super limited. Like the flower line stuff is, I have so much respect for people who make big flower tubes. It's very difficult not only to make them, but to also like get material that's not like damaged, like big enough pieces of clear tube that haven't been damaged in shipping and stuff or scratched. Like, cause people are like, oh, why don't you just polish a scratch off? And like some scratches don't polish off. Some stuff is like not superficial. It's like deep. And like sometimes you get a case of tubing shipped to you and half of it's just covered in scratches and you can't find a piece longer than 6 or 7 inches that's not scratched. And sometimes you need a 10 or 12 inch section of clear to do a flower tube, like neck or whatever. You know what I mean? So a lot of respect for the people that have been doing that for decades now and, you know, running this industry, like these flower tube makers. There's a bunch of killer companies out there that do it. But yeah, I dabble in little flower tubes a little bit, so I got some new stuff coming up with that. I'm very excited to share. And more plasma piece stuff, more just lots of little projects and big ones. And now the remodel at least is like at a point where I've been taking a break from it from the last couple months. Probably in December is when I'll finish it, but I'm still taking a break because I got like overwhelmed. I went too hard. I spent so much time building things and making it nice that I forgot I was a glass blower and didn't make enough glass, so now I'm playing catch up. Cause like I've this has been a pretty limited year for RBRs. Like all of the RBRs have been sold, but like I haven't made like a lot of them. Like each drop is like it's more of other stuff. So I'm trying to like really crush and like get some RBRs made for these final drops of the year and have good variety on those. A little less of the terp hammers, less of like bubblers and stuff, and try to do more RBRs and more of the full color like Puffco stuff and shit like that. But yeah, if you're interested in any of those drops and want to see more, make sure you sign up for that newsletter at bmsglass.com. Yeah, I'm gonna get to work. I'm gonna end this here. Appreciate y'all. Thank you so much, everybody. And yeah, next drop is September 22nd, weekend of my wife's birthday. So yeah, it's going to be a crazy weekend. I was like, we can push the Sunday sale to a different weekend so it doesn't affect your birthday. But she's like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, oh man, hopefully she's not stressed out on her B-day. So, but yeah, September 22nd, we're going to release Puffco pre-sale one more time on the Bloop ones and the 10 mil micro ones. And then we're dropping clear RBRs in a few different stores. But the next time we'll offer them on our website, it's going to be that big November drop. You'll be able to get any of the RBRs, the Halos, everything. But yeah, bmsglass.com. Sign up for that newsletter. Thanks so much, everybody. Hope you have an awesome day. And I appreciate y'all hanging out. Oh, did I have those there the whole time? I have no idea. I came into this stoned. I fucking ripped the 4-footer this morning for some reason on a terp hammer. I don't know why I did that. I was eager. I put a new dish on it. Wanted to try it. And fucked up my whole workout. But it's fine. Yeah.